Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us Click and Clack the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Ale Shaozu department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Huh? What are you talking about? Ale Shao what?
All right. I'll get to that in a minute. But first, I have to share with you a little story that was published in the German news weekly Der Spiegel.
Is that like Der Beagle?
No, that's a dog. This is a magazine. But listen to this story.
Okay.
Well, here it is.
I'm ready.
Police in the southwestern German city of Kaiserslautern say two men trying to barbecue bratwurst on their porch barbecued more than they bargained for. The men, enjoying a warm spring evening with their wives, couldn't seem to get the charcoal in their grill to light using lighter fluid. So the 37-year-old host had an idea.
Uh-oh, is this a, hey guys, watch this moment?
You got it exactly, man. He decided to pour a glass of gasoline on the smoldering charcoal.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, as he started to dribble the gasoline onto the coal, it ignited immediately. And the resulting shooting flame made him drop the rest of the glass of gasoline into the fire. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry.
That sent the flames ever higher, which in turn startled his 28-year-old friend, who was standing nearby holding, you ready what he's holding?
Yeah, I know what he's holding.
The gas can.
Right.
You guessed it. He dropped the gas can, burning liquid went streaming off the porch onto the host's car, which burst into flame.
Mon Dieu! It's like deja vu for me, man.
The fire then engulfed his wife's car, which
oh
was
God.
Parked next to it, and then another car parked nearby, before the fire department managed to extinguish the various blazes. But the total damage from the barbecue, $46,000.
Right, well, that's not including the bratwurst.
Right.
So look, getting back to my original question, what was the Ale Shaozu thing you were talking about? What's that?
Oh, that's German for, hey guys, watch this.
Really?
Yeah, it really is.
Ah, stupidity, the universal language. All right, look, if you've got a stupid question about your car or not how to barbecue your bratwurst, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there. This is Cameron.
Cameron with a C?
Yes.
I'm just checking.
C-A-M?
Uh-huh.
E-R-O-N.
Just like Cameron Diaz.
Yes, excellent.
And where are you from, Cameron?
I'm calling from Noank, Connecticut.
From where?
Noank. It's right next to Mystic.
And how do you spell that?
N-O-A-N-K.
Noank, just like it sounds.
Exactly.
Noank.
Noank.
Right, got it.
They've got clever bumper stickers here, too.
Okay, so what's up with your car in Noank, Cameron?
I have a 2000 Jetta, Volkswagen Jetta, and every time I start it, right after, you know, as the ignition is sort of turning over and the car is about to start, it makes this horrible noise. You know a handheld electric drill?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. If you were to put that, let's say, like, into a pillow to muffle it.
Ah. So first it goes,
so it sounds
good.
It sounds normal.
Yeah, it's more like
oh, so let me get this right. Does it ever sound normal?
Everything sounds normal until the noise.
Yeah.
And how long is there normalcy? How many seconds?
3 seconds.
During which time you're still holding the key to the crank position.
Yes.
Right.
But
and
it's just about to be.
Just
it's
about
not
to,
that sound when you try to turn on a car that's already on.
Yeah.
It's not that sound, but it's.
No.
I think it's akin to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay.
So it makes the sound.
Yes.
And then when you release the key.
Uh-huh.
The noise goes away entirely.
Yes.
Never to return again until the next morning.
Until the next time.
But and then the car starts?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Everything else is fine.
And you forget about it until tomorrow.
Exactly.
So how many years has it been making this noise?
I would say maybe anywhere between 3 to 8 months.
3 to 8 months.
So every day you get out and you turn the key, it goes...
Yes.
And you say, horrible. Oh, well, what the heck?
So finally, you couldn't take it anymore. It's
exactly.
It's gotten to the boiling point.
Exactly.
And what do?
Look at me.
You call us. Expecting we're going to tell you to do something that's going to make it go away.
Yes.
And we are.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to tell you to go to the repair shop and have them replace the starter motor.
Starter motor.
Well, I think the starter motor is likely to be at fault. And the part that I think is faulty is the piece called the starter drive.
Starter drive.
And what it is basically is a device called an overrunning clutch, which allows the gear that's attached to the starter to kind of spin away when the engine has finally started and running, because the engine is going to run a lot faster than that gear would ever want to turn, so that you don't damage the starter motor bearings and whatnot. It spins this gear freely, and then retracts when you take your key from the crank position and return it to the start position. So I think either your starter drive is on the way out, or the starter is falling out.
Oh God! Like really, literally falling out.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, the bolts could be loose. Yeah. But I would have thought in 8 months something awful would have happened.
Maybe a little less.
I think it would have fallen off already, so the bolts are probably fine.
So good. Is this?
This is not expensive. This is $325.
Yeah, and 18 cents.
And 18 cents.
Yeah. But you need to do it. I think maybe not. I mean, what is to be learned by replacing it now?
Well, assuming that these bolts are loose.
Well, here's what I would do. I would take it someplace and have them verify the diagnosis.
Okay.
So, but once you get the diagnosis, I think you owe it to the rest of humanity, Karen, to drive this as long as it'll take you.
You think so?
Sure. Eventually, it'll break. And when it breaks, we'll know for the next caller
how long they can
last.
Yeah, we know that 8 months is nothing.
Right. 8 months you did standing on your head, so to speak.
The only trouble is when it really goes, the car won't start. But what do you care?
You'll know. You'll get a warning. Okay. But at least we'll have some kind of a range now for how long these things can go on a Jetta.
See. Okay. I can be the guinea pig.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the country's counting on you. See you, Cameron.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks for your call.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bill from Sanford, Maine.
Hey, Bill, what's going on?
I've got a 95 Ford Probe GT.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I have three of them, and two of them are for my sons. And this one has had a long-term problem. We got it running and idling well by messing around with a few things. But now when you nail the car, it just sounds like it's a smoker. It goes, cool, and then it goes. And if you accelerate slowly, it's okay. But as soon as you nail it, it just, like, coughs and then comes back and recovers.
Uh-huh. Is it jerking or is it just not accelerating well?
It just doesn't accelerate well. It just, like, coughs, almost dies, and then you got to let up on the gas a little bit, allow it to recover, and then you can cruise okay with it. It's not on the road yet, but we're fixing it to get on the road.
Uh-huh. Are either the other two on the road?
I don't want to make a long story.
Oh,
longer,
no, go ahead.
Make it longer.
We know it's hopeless, a lost cause.
The
go
other
ahead.
Two, I had one. I absolutely love the car. I've had it for about 4 years, and this is another problem. I parked it after work next morning, and it ran beautifully. Next morning, I get in it, I crank it, no spark, no fuel. I've been playing around with that one for 3 days, but I decided to give you my son's problem first.
Well, the good news is you have one car that...
What's your goal?
Is your goal here to have one car that works out of the three, or would you like to have all three work?
All three. The two of them. I have twin boys.
Well, how old are they? Six? Because
they're 17.
Uh-oh. You're under the gun.
You got to get right on this.
I know. Already been through driver training.
Uh-oh.
I have no more fingernails.
I mean, it certainly could be a lot of things. It could be something as simple as a clogged fuel filter, a weak fuel pump. It could be weak spark. I mean, there are lots of things.
Well, what have you done to this car?
Well,
because we figure you've did it, whatever it is.
Yes.
So tell us what you did.
Well, at least I got it running. I had a wiring problem, and I got it running. But then I checked the codes, which are flashing lights that you have to encode.
Yeah.
And one was a crank sensor, one was a throttle position sensor, and the other one was a VRIS, variable intake solenoid.
Okay.
I changed them all three, got rid of the codes, and after I did that, it idles fine. They're not ready to drive it on the road yet, so it's not so urgent. But around the corner, they will be. And I'm trying to get rid of this last problem.
Yeah, well, they'll be able to drive this one. What about the other two that you're going to disable in order to get this one to run? Because you're going to have to steal parts. The first thing I would look at is the fuel pump pressure.
I did check the pressure, and the pressure was good.
Oh, the pressure's good.
Okay, that's
all right.
Bad.
Well, and this has one coil pack that serves all six cylinders.
This does have a ignition module.
Right.
But it does have a distributor.
Right. It's possible that the problem is in the module or in the coil. And a weak coil will cause this. Have you swapped out the coils?
The guy who had it before me swapped the module.
The coil may be inside the distributor.
Yeah, he did not swap that as far as I know.
Well, you can take one out of one of the other cars and put it in this one.
Mm-hmm. So right now you have no cars that really run.
True.
Right. So you got nothing to lose, but embedded in those three cars are enough parts to get one of them to run.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But you got to keep track of what you move from where to where.
Yeah. But so
yeah,
I would label the cars 1, 2, and 3. When you take the coil out of car number 2 to put it in number 1, make sure you make a note of that and start with the coil and let us know. Give us a call next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to be here for the rest of the hour. Call us back in 20 minutes.
Yeah. There you go.
You can change the coil in half an hour.
Call us as soon as you know something. We can't wait. See you, Bill.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for your call.
Good
Bye
luck.
Now.
888-CAR-TALK. He's going to junk all three of them. 888-CAR-TALK. It'll be a triumphant day when he gets one of them to run.
Oh, yeah. And you got to keep track of what you're doing because...
I don't think so. It'll be more fun if he doesn't.
I have to start all over again.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jim Davis calling up from the labs.
Jim!
Oh, I'm sure we had some deep...
Well, we did, except we don't remember the question.
You. Well, yes. What's this about some guy setting his car on fire with a can of Sprite?
Oh, this is a guy who claimed a can of soda pop melted his leather upholstery.
Must have been a pretty hot car.
Oh, right. He spilled it on the door or something, and it melted the leather.
Yeah, I think he said it charred it a bit.
Disfigured, I think.
I put together a research team, and we checked out a can of Sprite from the Greenhouse Cafe here in the Science Center.
Uh-huh.
And I went up to the lab and put a piece of leather in a 100-degree Celsius oven, which is 212 Fahrenheit, the boiling point of water.
Wow, that's pretty hot.
And I let it get good and hot, you know, really hot car type hot. And then I poured a can of Sprite on it, and it foamed and sizzled just like it should. You know, these clear drinks are mostly carbonated water. That's water that has carbon dioxide dissolved in it under pressure.
Sure.
Plus sugar and a little flavoring.
Yeah.
And so if you pour that on a hot surface, you would indeed expect it to foam and boil and to see clouds of what
you're releasing
like
the gas, right?
You're releasing the gas, you're boiling the water, and you're caramelizing
the sugar. You're driving the CO2 out.
Right.
But I did not succeed in carbonizing the sugar.
No, that would have to be hotter.
That happens normally at or slightly above the boiling point of water, and I doubt that his car gets that hot. So what I suspect happened is probably that the liquid dissolved some dye or dirt or sweat or something from the leather and just left a sort of a stain there. I'd be very surprised if it really charred. But if your listener was able to char it, I would be interested to hear more about it.
Well, we may need a sample, right? You may have to mail us the door.
So your opinion here, Jim, let me just get this straight.
Okay.
Your opinion is based solely on this bogus little experiment you did, and you did not make any reference to the literature.
No, we did not do a massive literature search. We
decided
to skip that step and go right
to the
experiment.
And you didn't duplicate actual field conditions.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Or it's simulated in the lab. I didn't want to pour it on my own car.
That's very, very good. I'm glad that you're right on top of things.
Well, I'm happy to help here.
Thank you very much. For people who don't know, Jim is a professor of chemistry at the world's greatest university here in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Well, actually a senior lecturer, but thanks anyway.
Whatever. And Jim is on the staff of Dewey Cheatham and Howe in the chemical division.
Our resident chemist.
Why, I'm chairman of the chemical division.
Chairman.
Chairman of the chemical division. And he puts together in his laboratory. What the laboratory, is that like on the second floor with all the porcelain stuff?
No, I think it's in the basement of Cartel Plaza somewhere.
Thank you very much.
WGU wouldn't want to claim it, I think.
They no, I bet not. Wouldn't.
Okay, guys, talk to you later.
Thanks for calling, Jim. See you, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, all right, look, it's time for us to take a little break before we give out the answer to last week's puzzle.
Hey, before you get to that, I have a letter I want to read.
Oh, really?
It's actually a letter addressed to you, but I opened it because I always read your mail.
Great.
Check this out. It says, Dear Ray, I've listened to your radio program for a number of years now, and I have never known Tommy to remember a previous week's puzzler. What an idiot, I thought.
Well, you're right so far.
Well, now with the miracle, or perhaps curse, of podcasts, I'm now able to listen to back-to-back episodes of Car Talk. Unfortunately, last week, I discovered that even with only a one-hour gap, I was unable to remember last week's puzzler, or in this case, the last hour's puzzler.
Really?
From this, I have figured out Tommy's problem. Obviously, overexposure to Car Talk causes degradation of mental faculties.
There you go!
But here's my question, he says. If I stop now, is it reversible, or am I doomed already? Dickie Cluth, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You're done for, Dickie.
Well, who knows? I mean, maybe it's not too late.
Well, it's too late for me.
Well, yeah, it got late early for you. I'm sure you don't remember last week's puzzler, do you?
No, but neither does my pal Dickie, and I feel better about it now.
Well, last week's puzzler was a little mystery about three guys with hats.
Cowboys?
No.
Rabbis?
No, just three guys with hats. And we'll be back with the whole story, the whole answer, and, of course, more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Dump truck coming down the road. Dump truck hauling a great big load. Round and round the wheels they roll. Round and round into a hole. Round luck can't go, my truck is stuck. Gears grind, the engine roars, but the truck won't go not one inch more. Stuck truck go. Here comes a car full of travelers traveling far. Round luck can't go, my truck is stuck.
And even though Scott Simon makes a note to start working on his unicycle act again whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more Car Talk.
Yeah, like you're a parent and need a scared straight punishment for your kids.
You can download hundreds of classic Car Talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack. The Tappert Brothers here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Mistaken identity.
That's right.
Huh.
Like mistaking you for someone who's actually paying attention. That kind of mistaken identity. Anyway, this was sent in by a Mr. Paul Mulick, who has sent in many puzzlers over the years, and here it is. It's nice and short and sweet.
Okay.
All right. Three men, Mr. White, Mr. Brown, and Mr. Green, were in the habit of meeting in a local donut shop every morning for coffee and what? Donuts. One morning, as they were sitting at their usual table, Mr. White remarked, "Hey, will you look at that? We're each wearing a colored baseball cap today, one white cap, one brown cap, and one green cap." You might notice they correspond to their names. But interestingly, no one was wearing a cap of the color that matches his name.
Oh.
At this, the guy wearing the green cap says, "Oh, you stoop. That doesn't mean anything. It's just a coincidence. Shut up and eat your stupid donut."
Oh.
The question is, what color cap is each man wearing?
That's it?
Yep, that's it. And that's all you need. To solve it. Now, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking it's Mr. Green that spoke up, but it isn't Mr. Green. It's the guy wearing the green cap.
Yes.
Okay, so if Mr. White, Mr. White says nobody's wearing a cap of his own color, that obviously includes him, so he can be wearing either a green cap or a brown cap.
Yeah, but not a white.
But not white.
Yeah.
But he can't be wearing the green cap because the guy with the green cap spoke.
Yeah.
So Mr. White must be wearing what? The brown cap.
Yeah.
And Mr. Green, he's going to be wearing the white cap.
Yeah.
And Mr. White's going to be wearing the green cap.
Yeah.
That's simple. It was easy. I told you it was for eighth graders. How'd that work out for you? Anyway, do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. Our winner this week is Bob Sherwood from Berg Hill, Ohio. And for having her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, Bob is going to get a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division, with which she can get a set of four Car Talk reusable shopping bags.
Yeah, I mean, these have the Car Talk logo on them, along with our unattractive likenesses. And they say in big letters, my other reusable bag is from a good NPR show.
Yeah, sure it is.
Anyway, we have a brand new puzzler coming up, so stay tuned for that. But between now and then, we'll take as many calls as we possibly can at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jennifer from Van Nuys, California.
Hi, Jennifer. Oh. How are you?
I'm good.
What's going on?
Well, I have a 2001 Volkswagen Beetle, and I've had it in the shop on average every 3 months.
That's too bad.
Yeah, not so good. And I never had the heart to sell it because I knew I'd be selling someone a piece of junk, and I thought that every repair would be the last repair.
Right, but somewhere deep down inside, you knew.
I knew, yes. So it's time for me to get rid of the car, and I know I could probably get, you know, a couple $1,000 for it, but that's just not satisfactory to me. So I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I would really like to take the car out to a field and charge people like $1 a swing and just go to town on the car. And I figure I could make some money, and I would have a lot of enjoyment out of doing this and just destroying the car. And so my question is what parts from the car would be salvageable that I could sell to a mechanic before I take this car out?
Oh, I see. So you want to just take the carcass out there?
Yeah, or I don't know. Like, I just want to see, like, what I can get from, you know, any monetary value I can get at this
how
point.
How many miles on this car?
It's got about 150,000, but,
it does.
The engine, they Volkswagen had to replace the engine a couple of years ago, so the engine only has, you know, 10,000-15,000 miles on it.
So the engine is worth a few $1,000s.
That's what I figured.
Yeah. So someone who needed an engine would be happy to pay you for the engine. And there are dozens and hundreds, thousands maybe, of other parts that are valuable, not to mention things like the transmission, the glass. You want to leave the glass. No, maybe you don't want to take the glass out.
Someone's going to get hurt.
So you want to do this because you're so angry at this car.
Wow.
That you want, not only you, do you want to beat the snot out of it, but you want complete strangers to come by and beat your car up. What makes you think that they'll have this? They'll be able to strike this car with the same vehemence and dislike that you harbor for this car?
Well, I figure people like destroying things, and so this would be an opportunity to destroy a car. They could be destroying it on behalf of any car problems they have.
So if maybe I could see that you could sell off all the usable pieces of the car. You know, of course, you wouldn't be able to sell the body, which is a rather expensive and usable piece and valuable piece.
But you're going to destroy that.
You're going to destroy that. But you'll sell enough of the other pieces to get some money, and then maybe you can turn this into a charitable event.
I thought about that, yeah.
But you're throwing away a lot of money here because you have a car, the body of which is pretty good, maybe, and the engine of which is very good.
Well, and my other question is just if you've ever done this before yourselves or known of anyone.
Well, not when customers are watching.
No, I never had a car that could
take that kind of punishment. No, we've never done this before. No, we love cars, Jennifer, and I think when you get a chance to rethink this, you'll realize that maybe the car has feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought about that too, but I thought maybe this would be a monumental way to go out.
Yeah, it is kind of wasteful to smash up a car whose fenders and doors and whatnot could be sold to somebody and recycle it. Rather than making a new fender and door, they could use yours.
I could never do this.
It's not a green. It's not a very green thing to do.
Oh no, it's not. I mean, this is a car that could last 10 more years.
Oh. No.
Oh yeah.
But someone else. You're certainly
with
not
someone
so,
else.
So I
yeah.
think we need to figure out, Jennifer, while we're talking, we need to talk you down off the ledge today.
I think we do have to do that.
Know you're angry. I know you're frustrated, and you really like to. So you need to get.
You're in Van Nuys, so if there's somebody in the Van Nuys area who really needs a car, doesn't have any money, wouldn't it be nice to give the car to somebody?
But if it breaks down, then they have to take it in.
But they got it for nothing.
Sure.
You can stop someone on the street and say, you look like you need a car. And you could just give them the thing.
That might be fun. mind. Just a random person.
And you make yourself a big placard, and you stand on a street corner, and the sign in front of you says, anybody want a free car? And the car is parked right there at the curb.
But I think whoever gets the car has to be deserving. So you need to have some kind of a little essay contest, maybe. Why I need Jennifer's car.
Oh, that's fun. I like that idea.
Yeah.
And you can divulge to whomever you give the car to that it has been a nightmare. And they can turn around and sell it, trade it in. They can smash it up with a hammer if they want. But I don't think that ought to be you, Jennifer.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, and I think in the interest of good sense and being green and all that, I think you need to give the car to somebody. And understandably, this was not a very reliable car.
No.
So you need to give the car to somebody who can drive it, and knowing its shortcomings, will be able to accept them simply because the car is free.
Yeah.
And you can just punch a closet or something, punch a closet door.
I think you guys have successfully talked me down.
Oh, buy a plastic.
Wonderful.
Buy a plastic model of the car and stomp on it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, run over it.
Excellent.
Jen, we wish you the very best. Let us know how you make out.
I will. Thank you so much.
Excellent.
Bye-bye. And let us know how the psychotherapy's working out. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is Jep.
Jep.
Yes.
J-E-P?
J-E-P, exactly.
It's going to be a shortened form of...
John Paul, a lifelong nickname.
Oh, John Paul.
Paul, Jep.
Jep, I like it.
Great.
Where are you from, Jep?
Calling from St. Paul's Cathedral in Boston.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We've been there.
Yeah, great.
They threw us out once for being obstreperous, but we did visit once. Anyway, Jep, what's going on?
I've got a 96 Corolla with 200,000 miles, and I took it to a new mechanic for tuning. He told me it needed a new timing belt, which he replaced.
Uh-huh.
2 days later, the car died. Turned over, wouldn't start.
Uh-huh.
I towed it back. And he told me the camshaft had broken, which I'd never heard of. And then he replaced it, and he said it was just pure coincidence that what he did had nothing to do with the camshaft being broken. So he replaced it for free because he said there's no way in the world...
You would ever believe the
story. I would
story.
Ever believe that it was a coincidence.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether this guy's a saint or a sinner.
Well, you're in the right environment there to maybe
figure
it out. What do you do at the church, Jep?
I'm the dean of the cathedral.
The dean.
Well, it's the guy in charge of it. I'm an Episcopal priest, and I'm the go-to guy.
Oh, yeah. You're the go-to guy.
He's the guy that says, and stay out.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I think I met you once.
That's right.
Yeah. So here's the question. I'll tell you, it's very, very unusual for a camshaft to break.
Right, yeah.
What's more typical is that the timing belt jumped.
Uh-huh.
And that rendered the car unstartable.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do. How would I know that? Because I've done it. So it's easy enough to put the timing belt on incorrectly. If you don't put the tension on the right way, only one side of the belt gets tensioned. If the other side of the belt is not taut when the tensioner is released, then the belt can jump. And if it jumps one tooth, it begins to run rough. If it jumps a bunch of teeth, it won't start. And usually when the jumping occurs when you're trying to start the engine.
Right.
So the belt that's barely on correctly and maybe has jumped one tooth during its running may have run a little bit ragged. And all of a sudden you shut the thing off and you try to start it the next morning.
Right.
And it'll just crank and crank and it won't start.
Yeah.
Because everything's in the wrong place.
Right. So when the timing belt jumps, the valves are opening when they shouldn't be.
Right.
And the spark is firing when it shouldn't
be.
Everything's all screwed up. So the chances that he did that happened coincidentally, are about, I would say, 1 in 1,000.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's more likely that he screwed up.
But right. But he didn't feel that he could charge you, but he had to have a good story, maybe.
That's right.
So the good story is something broke, but I'm such a wonderful person.
Right.
That I fixed it for free.
Right. And also, I had to pay $165 to have the car towed.
Oh.
And he said, the camshaft replacement is $800. I'll cover that if you cover the car towing.
Oh, okay, sure. All right. So this definitely sounds like a story.
I think we're tilting toward the sinner end, not
Exactly.
Well, but, I mean, he certainly did well by you.
Yeah.
No, does he know you're a clergyman?
I wore a collar.
Because you don't mess with those guys. We learned that a long time ago.
That's right.
Those guys have connections.
Right.
You use guys.
That's it.
You guys have connections that we wouldn't mess with you.
Yeah, and he didn't want to mess with
this
you.
This could come back, right.
And it was nice of him.
Well, it was nice of him, except you got stuck for – he made a mistake.
Right.
And you got stuck for $165 towing. If he had admitted to you that he put the belt on
right.
in such a manner that allowed it to jump
– then he
right.
should have paid for that anyway.
Then he should have paid the $165.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's up to you, Jep, to decide what to do with him. You can go to him and say, look, Joe. What's
right.
Is that his name?
We'll say his name is Joe.
Let's say his name is Joe.
I'm going to pray for your soul here. But you've got to tell me the truth. And the truth is that you put the belt on incorrectly, or someone who works for you did.
Right.
And now you don't want to pay the $165 towing, but you probably should. And the easiest way for him to deal with this is to make it up to you in trade. You know, give you four or five free oil changes.
Uh-huh.
And when you tell him you called us and we told you the truth.
That's it.
Then he'll say, okay,
you
caught me.
Right.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he knows, he probably knows where our shop is. He'll be coming
that's
around
right,
in the morning.
Right.
Well, good luck, but I think you need to tell him that he didn't have to make up a story.
Uh-huh.
That the truth shall set you free.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, you're sounding good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, if you ever need someone on Sunday to fill in.
I was going
to
say, if this mechanic thing doesn't work out, I've got a place for you.
Jep, it's been a pleasure talking to
great.
You.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So a priest is calling us with an ethical question. What does the world come to, right?
The end of the world can't be far
it
behind.
It can't be far behind. Exactly right. See
great.
You, Jep. Good luck.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We'll stop in and see him any day.
Yeah, we just stop in at St. Paul's, sure.
Sure. I mean, I go in there.
They won't let you in, but I'll go. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Oh, hello. Hi, my name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Where are you from?
Hi, I'm from Moore Park, California.
What?
Moore Park, California.
Moore Park.
It's out in Ventura County.
Okay, I know where you are, Rosalie. What's going on, Lisa?
I have a minivan. I have a Toyota Sienna, and I have three young children, a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and a five-year-old.
Okay.
And we have a CD player and a tape player, and my children put a bunch of coins into the CD player and the tape player. And I was wondering if I can take my tweezers and just go in there and pull those things out, or if I'll get electrocuted if I try and do that.
No, you won't get electrocuted, but... But I bet you're not going to be able to get the stuff out easily.
Who
yeah.
who did this? The 3-year-old or the 5-year-old?
Everyone's keeping mum, so I don't know who did it. But.
Yeah, I'm guessing it was a collaborative effort. The
3-year-old
and 5-year-old,
right.
And they must have had so much fun.
I know.
Think about it.
Oh yeah, we had much fun when we did it to your CD player last week. So you're not going to get electrocuted, but I'm guessing you won't be able to get enough of them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have no, how many did they
nightmare.
Put in? Do you know?
I have no idea. I just know that my coin holder was pretty full, and now it's empty. And we're listening to the same stuff on the radio over and over and over, and I'd love to have my CD player back. Can you think of another way for me to get those things out?
Well, you
yeah,
can,
you gotta
you can
flip
take
the car
whole,
upside down.
Flip the car over.
And shake it.
You try climbing a really steep hill and then pounding on the dashboard. Now, I would just take it to your shop, and they'll pull the radio out.
Okay.
You know, because it's a radio CD, but it's all one unit on this car, I believe, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And they'll pull the thing out and tell them they can keep all the money they can get out of it.
Yeah, that might be worth it, huh?
Yeah.
And you're right. It's not going to be easy to get it out.
Not if you try to do it with tweezers. I don't think you're going to get anything out with tweezers.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but I wasn't sure what else I could try and get in there.
Yeah, but I think taking it out and turning it upside down is probably the best bet.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah, no, I mean, and they'll probably get the stuff out. It's you know, there's not much room for it to go where it can't be shaken out. But they may have to take it all apart.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, you might be better off just going to a junkyard and for $50 or something like that, buying a used one and sticking it in there and, you know, hoping that everything works on that one.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks so much.
See you, Lisa.
Great. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it's time for me and my brother to take a short break and work up a detailed outline for the next 20 minutes of the show.
I have the outline, and here it's right here. Roman numeral 1.
Go ahead.
Take calls. Roman numeral 2. Fool around.
I thought fool around was 1 and take calls was 2. We'll have to discuss this.
We'll have to discuss it.
We'll be back in a minute.
Driving down the valley, both hands on the wheel, Perusing through Deer Alley, thinking about how scared I feel. Wondering if my luck will hold to see a carcass by the road. A recent deer that is no more, smashed by fate on the valley floor, just lying there forevermore. Gee, it sure is dark out here, got a semi on my tail. Sun is set, the pavement's wet, sure hope these brakes don't fail. If I run into a deer, we're all gonna die. Cause when driving down Deer Alley, it's hard to stay alive. Ain't easy to survive. Peering through the darkness to find out where they lurk. I'm just trying to get back home. This feels too much like work.
And even though Nanook of the North goes online and orders a pair of noise-canceling earmuffs whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, make it good, man.
Oh. You had to spoil it. This came from someone named Rob, who used to work for Applied Logic, because that was his email address, but I'm sure he got...
No, he's fired by now.
For unauthorized use of the company email and
he's
all that.
Gone.
Yeah. Anyway, here it goes. My wife owns a 92 Olds Achieva with a Quad 4 5-speed manual transmission and all that other stuff, power everything. One morning, she's heading out to work, and she comes back into the house and says, my car won't start. I go out and I listen as she tries to start the car. She turns the key. Zippo. Not even a click. Being in a hurry, she takes my car. So I put the battery charger on her car. And later in the day, I go out and I start it right up. I drive it around a bit to charge the battery. Everything's fine. The next day, the exact same thing happens. Right? She turns the key. Zippo.
Yeah.
I visit a website and I find instructions for determining if there's a drain on the battery and all that. I do the test. I find out there's no drain. So what would any half-intelligent person do? Goes out and buys a new battery.
Sure.
So the new battery's installed. The next morning, same problem.
With the brand new battery.
So we pushed the car out and I jumped it from my car. I get in it, I turn the key, and I drive her car to the dealership and she follows in my car. They called back later to report that they couldn't find a darn thing wrong with it, but we're charging us $180 nevertheless.
Tammy.
We told them, let it sit there overnight and try it in the morning. They called the next morning and said what?
Nope. Started right.
Started up like a shot.
Oh.
So we go to the dealer.
Geographic.
So my wife says, my wife gets in with her keys, turns the key, won't start. And we're standing there scratching our heads.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe it.
I don't. It's brilliant, though.
And at which point I ask her, did you just buy something for your car?
Yeah. And she says, yes.
Yes, I did. The question is, what did she buy and why, in addition to the battery?
Yeah.
What did she buy that was preventing it from starting? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard.
Man.
Or, better still, but only slightly better still, a mahogany humidor filled with hand-rolled Cuban cigars.
Mahogany.
Monterey Excaliburs, to be precise.
Yeah.
And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our very fair city.
Ma 02238. Or you can email your answer from cartalk.com. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Topher Bill from Fredericksburg, Virginia.
Topher
Bill.
Topher, T-O-P-H-E-R.
I wrote that down.
It's the end of Christopher.
Topher.
Topher Bill. Oh, it's the end of Christopher.
Topher.
Yes, and I'm otherwise known as the father of Becca Bill.
It's the end of Rebecca.
Yeah, you talked with her a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, we did?
About her anal retentive father.
Oh!
Me.
You're the guy with the little book.
I am the guy with the little book.
We should remind people that Becca called us a couple of weeks ago, and she told us that her father had this practice of keeping a little book in the glove compartment, and that every time he got gas or did anything to the car. He made a notation in this logbook, and he insisted that she, Becca, do the same, and it was making her nuts. And if I remember, we suggested to her that she tell you to take this book and stuff it. And that she had to make a clean break with you because you were controlling her life.
You even had the nerve to predict what kind of a car this anal retentive guy had, and you said it was a Honda Civic.
And were we right?
No, it's an Accord.
Oh, coming up in the world.
Actually, we own three Accords, but the one in question, the one that I bought and gave to Becca, is a 90 Accord.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. This all started with me with an 81 Datsun.
That would do it.
I bought it. It was my first little car. I decided to see what kind of mileage it got.
Yeah.
It was the world's most miserable car. I had it 60,000 miles. It averaged 18 miles a gallon, which I, you know, was able to figure from the little book. I then went out and bought a bigger car. I have kept the little book on that and another one since then, the one that Becca has, but I've never actually figured it up. I was so incensed at the garbage mileage I got out of the Datsun that I wanted to know. I wanted to have the data if I wanted to ever compute it. But
so you have all this raw data. Are you saving this for, like, your memoirs?
Well, when I traded in the Datsun, I put the book under the rug with a note. Hey, sucker. Here's what you got.
Right, you'll find this.
Dofer.
Right after I've cashed your check.
Do you have other areas of your life where this anal retentiveness exhibits itself?
Yeah, I mean, I do research. Data is a thing.
Data are it. Right.
Well, you know, there's another piece of this. I own a fleet of vehicles. I have an 86 Celebrity that has 150,000 miles on it because it's been well taken care of, and I do keep track of all the repairs and everything. So
it's your belief that you can't take care of a car well unless you have the book. I mean, the book.
Well, I think it helps you to monitor the car.
We certainly agree. I the only thing I disagreed with, I certainly have no problem with your doing it. However, you're imposing it on your daughter as some kind of a precondition for financial assistance.
Yeah, well, it is my car.
You said you gave her the car.
Well, she. Well, okay. All right.
Either you gave her the car.
Wait a minute. Let me finish. Now, she just finished school. The idea was that when she finished school, I would give her a car. I wasn't quite sure what car it would be at that point.
Yeah.
And then it would be up to her.
So let's get down to it. Did you give her this car or didn't you? Did you give her the car or didn't you?
Well, she's using it now, but she will be, as she told you, she's taking a job in Atlanta and will start there in about a month, and then she'll be in Atlanta with
the car. Would you want to please instruct the witness to answer the question?
You're waffling on this, Topher.
Did
you give it? Now you say she's using the car. Whose car is it?
It will be hers when she moves to Atlanta. It'll be hers by default, because then she'll be there, and then it will be there, and I can't watch it.
Okay, so you still haven't actually given it to her.
Well, she doesn't want it, because then she'd have to insure it.
Gotcha.
Oh, but she would be exempt, I'm led to understand, from the book at that point. She would be excused once she takes ownership of the car.
Yeah, you called her brother a wuss.
Oh, yeah, we did that too, didn't we?
I sent him a copy of the tape, so you might be hearing from him too.
So the deal is that right now the car belongs to you because you're, in fact, paying for the insurance, and therefore you have every right in your mind, small though it may be, you have every right in your mind to dictate that she fill out the book.
Absolutely.
Okay, and I guess there's no argument there. But, I mean, the minute she leaves to go to Atlanta, give the kid a break. I mean,
When she hits Spotsylvania, which is 5 miles south of here, she's exempt.
Yeah.
I will call her on her car phone.
If you follow her for 5 miles, you'll find that book lying in the street someplace. Guaranteed.
I don't think the book is in there anymore.
No, it would be interesting to find out how far from the house does she get before she heaves that damn thing out the window. I want to know.
She and the book are in Florida now, basking in the sun, getting ready for life's work. So.
Yeah, she's slow to get to it, huh?
And I doubt if she's writing in the book. Actually, she hasn't written anything in the book since your conversation.
Yeah, good. Well, she's...
But I haven't put any gas in it either.
She's rebelling.
The magic gas.
Yeah, you got to cut the knot somewhere along the way.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Toph, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's been fun. I've been looking for an excuse to call you guys for the last 5 or 6 years, but I keep such good care of my cars that nothing
nothing ever
needs
breaks.
Your attention.
Hey, what's your son's name so we can be on guard if he calls?
Jason.
Jason.
Jason, okay. See ya.
See you later.
Bye. Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mara. I'm calling from Poland, New York.
Mara, M-A-R-A?
It is indeed, yes.
Where's Poland, New York?
It's near Utica, New York.
Oh, yeah.
It's where they make Saranac beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yes, the drums along the Hudson or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Mohawk.
So what's up?
So, I have one of those proverbial husband and wife disagreements.
Oh, I know
Look,
all
I'm gonna
about
Look, I'm
going to
go out for a sandwich. I'll have you and my brother talk, Mara.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, from my house, there are two ways to get to the top of this hill.
Yeah.
One is straight up, and my husband says it's about a 60-degree angle going up.
No, there's not the 60. Mount Everest isn't 60 degrees.
Okay.
Maybe six.
All right, it's probably, okay. All right, it's a steep hill.
It's a steep hill.
I mean, can Billy Goats make it up this hill?
Barely.
Barely, okay, so it's probably 20 degrees, but that's
okay.
Steep.
And then there's this back way that's sort of windy.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go up and down a hill, but it's exactly 3.1 miles each way. I measured it.
Yeah. I'm going to guess. Your husband says the best way to do it is go right up the steep hill.
He actually says it doesn't matter that you use the same amount of gas whether you go up this steep hill or you take this back way because you end up at the same elevation.
Is he an engineer?
No.
What
good.
Is he? That's hairdresser? Good. Is he a hairdresser?
No.
There's no general rule about this.
Well, okay. I mean, the amount of work being done, if you were a mule...
Yeah.
Okay. Or if you were carrying a jug of water up this hill, the amount of work to get it to the top is exactly the same whether you go straight up or take the circuitous route.
Okay.
Because the elevation is the same,
But he's talking about how much gasoline you would use.
Yes. How much gasoline you
would
use.
Well, right. I think you might use the same amount.
You might. Huh. But there's no general rule about it.
Yeah.
Because the more circuitous route could be miles.
Even in three. So how far is it if you go straight up at the 60-degree angle?
It's actually from my home up to the top of the hill where you end up at the same place. It's exactly 3.1 miles.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's the short route.
And no, they're exactly the same.
They're both 3.1 miles?
It is indeed, yes.
I don't understand how they can both be the same distance.
It's old Amish country. I don't...
But the circuitous route, what's the steepest that you have to... If you take the back road?
It's just... I was looking at it this morning. It was just a little hill up. Nothing huge at all.
You have... You're describing a topographical impossibility.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense.
Because if that were the case... When they climbed Mount Everest, they would have taken the back road.
Yeah. And then they got there at the same time.
I mean, and they would have been waiting for those other bozos that are killing themselves with the Sherpa guides and all that. We're here already.
Yeah. No, we don't get it.
I think that you do end up going up the hill a lot more. It just doesn't seem like it's not the same grade. So it doesn't seem, it's like one of those where you're like going, I'm making hand motions that you can't see.
No, we can.
And it's 3.1 miles no matter which route you take.
Yes, I measured them because I thought I was crazy. I measured them twice.
Well, you are crazy.
So the back road isn't very steep at all.
No, it's not. But
it's
you
not.
End up at the same.
But clearly you're climbing to get there because
yes.
If you weren't climbing, you what?
You wouldn't,
get to the top.
You wouldn't get there.
Yeah. Well, we're still looking at each other here, trying to decide if you're a wackadoo or not, but the jury's still out.
But it's been nice.
My husband will say that you're exactly correct about that. You're nuts.
Boy.
Hmm.
So he's checked his odometer to go from the house to the top of this hill is 3.1 miles of grunting and straining for the car.
Yes.
And you take a leisurely, also 3.1-mile jaunt where you stop and pick some tulips along the way and and you know, smell the roses. And next thing you know, voila, you're at the top of the hill.
Exactly.
And you've gone 3.1 miles.
Uh-huh.
You're nuts.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, I would go your way.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But if you go one way in one car and he goes the other way in another car, are you going to get to the top at the same time?
We do. We get to the top at the same time.
It doesn't make any difference whether this is a cordless route. At some point, you've got to climb the hill. You've got to get there. And at some point, it's going to get steep enough for long enough so that it gets you to the top, unless you're winding up on a different hill.
No. So I have to go home and tell him he's right?
No, don't do that. Because the guys with the white coats will be there in the morning to get you. Don't tell him he's right. He's already convinced you're a nut, and this may put him over the edge. Tell him you couldn't get through.
It never happened.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, just pretend we never spoke. And just, okay. Tell him I tried like hell. I couldn't get through. He had a bad connection. And just drop the whole thing.
Yeah.
And if we're ever in Utica, we're going to look you up. You can count on it. And keep away from those hills. I think the high altitude is getting to you. But it's been a pleasure.
It might be that pulling air.
It must be. It's been a wonderful pleasure speaking to you, Barra.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Crotch Chafe of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our interns are Ariel Niedermeyer and Eleanor Marks. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the St. Moritz Lemon Spritz, Mini Ritz, Bacon Bits, Buttered Grits, Cheese Biscuits, Olive Pits, Wiener Schnitz, Bottle Schlitz, Banana Splits, and Slivel Vits. Stuff your mitts with all that fits is John Bugsy Lawler.
Wow.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Mara Genovera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our second shift meteorologist is Cloudy Overnight. Our physical therapist is Estelle Hoyts. Our staff naturalist is Deirdre Oppings. Our food taster is Howard M. Burgers. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the erudite pipe-smoking pretzel vendors in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1125, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, the results are in. The top 10 annoying things that other drivers do.
Yeah, like driving 45 in the left lane or talking on a cell phone while driving 45 in the left lane. Hey, what else made the list?
Leaving snow on your roof.
Ah, yeah, so you create a Matterhorn-style avalanche at 65 miles an hour. That's fun. See our list of the 10 most annoying things that other drivers do and tell us what beauties that we missed right now over at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Goodwill ambassadors get belligerent whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.